Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 243, Parley Bear, part one. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com, and if it's 2013 or summertime that year, you can get the 2013 and the upcoming 2014 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar as a combo and save some money. So if you didn't get 2013, go ahead and get both of them over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by listeners just like you. The executive producer of Two Chairs No Waiting, number 243, is Tim Hollis. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Hollis from over at the National Lum and Abner Society. So it's brought to you by really Tim and Donnie Pickford. And I want to thank them for their support of Two Chairs No Waiting as they provided us our content for tonight, all about Parley Bear, Mayor Stoner. You know, Roy Stoner. Hello, Ralph. This is Roy Stoner. Stoner? Yeah, S-T-O-N-E-R. Parley Bear. Now, we've done episodes before about Parley Bear. Now, it was episodes number 66 through 71 of the podcast. Wow, that was a long time ago. Talking about Gunsmoke, and that featured him a great deal. So if you have not heard those, you can go back into our archives and look for episodes number 66. No way, I'm sorry. 68 through 71. So there's four episodes about Gunsmoke. Now, at Gunsmoke, we're talking about the old radio program. So you guys may not have heard this because it was so long ago. But, wow, it was a long time ago, wasn't it? 68 through 71. Parley Bear, Mayor Stoner, played Chester on Gunsmoke. And, of course, Howard McNear, Floyd the Barber, he played Doc Adams on Gunsmoke on the radio show. So hopefully you guys already knew that. But if you didn't, go back and check out those episodes back of Two Chairs No Waiting, 68 through 71. And a link will be in the show notes, so you can just go down there and click the Gunsmoke episodes of Two Chairs, and you'll be able to go and listen to all of those. Now, we've also had episodes about Lum and Abner before. Now, Lum and Abner, if you don't know, Lum and Abner was a radio program, and that's what the National Lum and Abner Society, that's what they're all about, is keeping the memory of the wonderful Lum and Abner show and fresh in everyone's mind. And Donnie Pickford is even doing a comic strip of Lum and Abner that you can go and check out. That's absolutely amazing.
Join us on Facebook at the Lum and Abner Comic Strip Group.
And there he is. There he is talking to us. He's over at the Lum and Abner Comic Strip homepage, and we'll have links to this as well. So you can go and find out about Lum and Abner if you don't know. If you like the Andy Griffith Show, you're bound to like Lum and Abner and Pine Ridge. Now, as I said, we had done episodes of Two Chairs in the past about Lum and Abner, where you may remember that Mr. Doakes, the guy who ran the grocery store that Opie was trying to get his job at, you know, as Opie and another boy is trying to get a job, and they were competing. Well, Mr. Doakes, he played Abner. I hope I got that right. On the Lum and Abner show. I hope I got the right person doing the right role, because there was two folks on there. Anyway, you got to go and check those out. Now, the reason I'm telling you about all this stuff was that Tim Hollis and Donnie Pickford are two of the founding members, the officers of the National Lum and Abner Society, and they had an event back in 1995 for Lum and Abner Appreciation Society where Parley Bear was present. He was at this event. And what we're going to hear in just a second here is the first part, at least, of some clips that we've got about with Parley Bear. So let's head on over and hear this first clip where Mr. Bear, Parley Bear, Mayor Stoner, is going to tell us how he got started in radio. So take it away, guys.
It's a pleasure for us to have you.
First of all, we wanted you to tell us a little bit how you got into radio in the first place, and sort of sort of paint a background for what we're going to do here.
Well, as we were coming across the plains in our covered wagons, I did my first broadcast in 1933 on KSL in Salt Lake City. And even when I was overseas during the war, I did some broadcasting over there. We had the Army had a station, and I was prone to get into trouble even then. I used to do, before our movies, I did news. And if the news was late coming in, I would manufacture some. And that went over fairly well. But the next day I generally answered. But the worst thing I got, they showed pictures of General MacArthur wading ashore. And he got a rousing hand, but I said, well, it's all well and good, and there's no one who is more impressed by General MacArthur than I am. But save some of that regard and some of that applause for the poor cameraman who walked backwards in there taking those shots. A man by the name of General Barnes called me to his office the next morning, and he said he thought that was a little laissez majesty. And I said, well, I'm sorry I said it, General, but... what about that guy? And he said, my sympathies are with you. But then, came back. I moved to California in 1947. And I've been singularly lucky and mightily blessed in that I've been able to do what I wanted and keep ahead of the income tax people while doing it. It's... as I've said, I could count on one hand and possibly have some fingers left over the shows that I have not enjoyed doing or the people with whom I have not enjoyed working. And that happens. If I had it to do over, I would try to be better. But I have spent the better part of 80 years trying to do things that would let me avoid work, and I don't think I would change that. My poor father went to his grave wondering when I was going to settle down and get a job. And some other members of my family have expressed that desire too sometimes. But I have been so lucky. And while I have not been spectacular, I thank God for having a fair degree of durability so that we can come. And I've met so many wonderful people, made so many wonderful friends. And I'm continuing to do so. I come to groups like this. It's made it all worthwhile. And thank you for letting me be a part of your life.
All right, so that's our first part there with Parley. Now, that was how he got started in radio. Now we're going to go hear him tell a little bit about Gunsmoke. Now, this is where he first starts talking about appearing on Gunsmoke and how he got that job about appearing on there. So let's go in here. And the first person you're going to hear talking is Tim Hollis, and he will be asking the question of Parley as we join him. So let's head back over to Pine Ridge, Arkansas, to the National Lum and Abner Society convention, I guess it was, or get together that they had back in 1995.
Of course, your biggest lasting thing came when Gunsmoke came along. Was that the first big?
Well, it was the biggest. It lasted the longest. But I, like I say, I did the Count of Monte Cristo for 5 years. I was on those Websters. I served time on the Cisco Kid and Poncho. And a lot of those things, Red Rider. One of my happy memories of Red Rider, do you remember an actor named Willis Boucher, Bill Boucher? The name mean anything, but he did an awful lot of the Lum and Abner shows, and he was a magnificent actor. And he had a voice like low G on a pipe organ. He was just, and when he had to whisper, it just rattled your hawks. You know, he just... His whisper was a dull roar. And we were, a bunch of us on the show, we were chasing Red Rider to do him a bit of no good. And Bill was leading the the posse after him, he had a line supposed to be whispered to him. He said, "Watch him, man. He's tricky. Keep your finger on the trigger." And I recall that with a lot of joy. And then I pulled an equally bad one on a first nighter one time. I could feel those wounds on frosty mornings for years afterwards. That was a thing in the days of live radio. You every now and again, you came across something that was not in the script and not intended. There was an actor named an announcer named Dick Anderson on ABC, and I don't know, he had a mental block with my name. He never announced my name on a thing that he got it right. And when he'd see me in the cast, he'd start to sweat. But it generally came out pretty, pretty, pretty bad. So I answered to that.
There was a point. Oh, he mentioned being on a show called Those Websters. I might mention that show also featured.
So we're going to cut off of there now because they went on to talk about a few other things that were related to that. Now we're going to jump over, and as part of the video, they again went back to Gunsmoke and old time radio in general. And this is an interesting piece, I believe. So I hope you're going to enjoy this part. So let's head back over and check them out.
We, as a profession, are grateful to you people who have organized and kept alive old-time radio, because, you know, the records that you have kept and the tapes that you have and the things that you have collected and made it a job of love and faith, you have preserved so many performances that might have been lost, because when television reared its ugly head and made inroads on radio, they took these old air checks out by the truckload, took them out to dumps and to garbage, and burned these performances like the Barrymores and Irene Dunne, all of the great people of the past who had done radio shows. And it's just criminal that those performances were lost, but people like you have kept them alive, and we as professional actors are grateful to you for doing that.
Of course, everyone knows him as Chester from Gunsmoke, but on occasion he would play other characters on that program. We have a little clip here in which he appeared as Chester's father.
Doc, yeah? Go find Chester, will you?
Sure, Matt.
No need to get up. Just come see my boy, Marshal Chester Proudfoot. Made good somehow, he did. Chester never was one of my brightest boys. 11 boys I had, I remember. Say, I ain't your hand here yet. What's your name, sonny?
Dillon, Matt Dillon.
Ditto? A funny name for a man. I knew a man one time had the name of Hargrove. I thought that was the funniest up till now, but Ditto.
Doc, you better go get Chester.
Who's that fella?
Well, that's Doc Adams.
Nice to know you, Sip.
Saying something, is he?
I said it's nice
now,
to know.
My name is Wesley Proudfoot. Sire de Marshall, turns out. Yes, sir. 11 boys I had. Chester was nowhere near the brightest. No, sir, he'd rate about number 9 there.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr.
Chester,
Proudfoot.
Chester bordered on being ignorant, I'd think.
Oh, no, no.
I can't imagine how he ever got to be a marshal. Chester Wesley Proudfoot, marshal of Dodge City.
Look, Mr. Proudfoot.
They named all them boys with the middle name of Wesley after me, it did. Hoped at least one of them would mount something like me. Yes. What'd you say your name was?
It's Adams. Dr. Adams.
Dr. Adams. Horse or people?
What?
What's the matter with you? I say, do you doctor horses or people?
People.
Oh, well, it's too bad for you. I wouldn't ever let a people doctor work on me, and I got a great many things wrong with me, too. Hey, where's Chester?
Well, he's out getting the mail for me.
Well, good for him. Got spunk. Probably running down some of them bad men he always writes about. Used to have an assistant named Dillon working for him. Whatever become of him?
Dillon, that's me, Mr. Proudfoot. Matt Dillon, that's me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do a fair job, Gordon Chester. Says he can usually depend on you.
Well, that's very nice of him. Look, Mr. Proudfoot, maybe you should know something.
Hello, Doc. Chester. There wasn't none too much mail, Mr. Dillon.
Forget it, Chester.
What? Chester,
You've got company.
Who's a fat fella?
That's Chester. That's the Marshal Proudfoot.
Pa. You know, Mr. Dillon, Pa.
That you, Chester?
Yeah, that's him, Mr. Proudfoot.
Ah, you fatted up a good deal, Chester. Your assistant here looks better than you do. I'd like an explanation.
Matter of fact, so would I, Chester.
Of course. Of course, also in that, of course, you heard Marshal Dillon was William Conrad, who... Yep. Younger people will know him from television as Cannon or from Jake and the Fat Man or maybe as the narrator on Rocky and Bullwinkle. He was into a lot of different things there. And I think Howard McNair was in that too.
Yeah, he played Doc.
Yeah. Mm. And so, you know, there was one thing wrong about radio, and that's that as far as we know, Chester and Lum and Abner never met each other.
Never, ever.
Until
it's Chester's loss.
So Chester never met Lum and Abner is what they went on to talk about, and that went on into the video clip. But I want you to think about what you just heard, where Parley was talking about all those amazing radio programs. I don't know if you guys ever listened to them, but I love old-time radio. I love to listen to them. A great Gildersleeve, talked about here on the podcast before. Lum and Abner, of course. There's so many. There's shows called Suspense that are kind of Twilight Zone type episodes. I love those. And they're all theater of the mind, is what they always said, is these old radio programs. And how sad is it that all these old programs, so many were lost? He said they just took them out in truckloads and put them in the dump or burned them. I just cannot imagine. That's just terrible. So thankfully, there are people like these Lum and Abner Society that have taken time to try to take care to protect these treasures of radio. And if you guys have never listened to them, I really want to encourage you to go out. You can go out on iTunes. Just go out on the internet and do Google searches for Gunsmoke Radio, old-time radio. You can just type OTR, Gunsmoke, and you'll find all kinds of Gunsmoke episodes. In that clip they played, you heard our Floyd the Barber, you heard him. I just think it's amazing. Of course, Mayor Stoner there, Parley Bear played Chester. You could hear him. And he was playing Chester's daddy on that episode, and Chester. And then, of course, you heard Doc Adams. That was Floyd. So there's just so many really cool things. Now, there was a poem that was written that he is going to read about Gunsmoke. But I want you to think about the old Gunsmoke shows, the nostalgia that we have for them, the special places in our hearts, even for the old radio programs, the Andy Griffith Show. And I want you to hear this wonderful poem that was written that Parley is going to read for us about Gunsmoke.
A poem about Gunsmoke you were going to
read. Yes, you know, this is a great reward. I am subject to sentimental attack at the time, but this really touched me. Bob Floor of the MCI came and handed this to me this afternoon. I know he won't mind if I read it, but it's the sort of thing that actors love to get. And this goes back all those years to Gunsmoke. He says, "I dream of the days when cowboys ruled the West with a six-gun song and a well-colored vest, with a horse and a hat and some gun smoke fire, with a full day's work and gold coins for hire. I see in my dream that the saloon was the place to either meet your destiny or tempt your fate, to drink with old Doc, Chester, or Miss Kitty, to view life fully without regret or pity. Since most men want to prove what a sharpshooter can be, their lives are filled with shots of guns and whiskey. A marshal must walk the streets of Dodge with a stride and feel confident with faithful old Proudfoot by his side. Marshal Dillon's been wounded, shot, and abused, but with old Doc Adams, most of us were amused. His humor was offbeat, even a little pixie. He was a barber at heart who one day would sing Dixie. The stories were stories of an outcast corps, and in the end our hero would even up the score. Marshal Dillon's great gunplay will never yield. For that we can thank Meston and Crutchfield. There are few in this world that are Gunsmoke true, but those that are through and through. And when the job is done and it's time to rest, I notice that God made the sun set in the west. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? That definitely was wonderful. That was an amazing... I think you can just replace Mayberry for Gunsmoke in most of those cases, and we get that same nostalgic feeling. So that's a first part of hearing from Parley, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Most of it is about old-time radio. Now, next week, we're going to talk about some of his Disney movies that he was in and the Andy Griffith Show, and he's going to talk a good bit, at least some about it. So you're going to hear several little interesting tidbits. I got at least one out of the whole thing that was something about the Andy Griffith Show I didn't know. And so I hope you guys are enjoying that. Parley Bear, Mayor Stoner from the Andy Griffith Show. It's just, this is another little insight into a show that the Andy Griffith Show that's, 50 some odd years old. And so I'm always out there trying to find little tidbits about the actors and personalities that were involved on the show. And I hope you're enjoying this. I want to thank again the National Lum and Abner Society for helping us come up with these wonderful little tidbits. I want to thank Tim and Donnie Pickford and Sam Brown as well. He's on the video, the original video that we're pulling from. And I don't know if there's a way to get a full copy of this DVD or not, but I will check on that with Tim to see by next week so that you guys will have an opportunity, if you'd like, to get the entire DVD, because this is just little bits of it that I'm showing you. It's about a two-hour DVD about with Parley. And it's definitely, I think, worth getting if you're a fan of the Andy Griffith Show and just have that nostalgic bone in your body. So, folks, hey, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Let me know what you think about Lum and Abner, about Parley Bear. You can also email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Drop by twochairsnowaiting.com, the website. You can leave a message right there on this episode. Or you can head over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/twochairs. However you'd like to hear from me, I would love to hear from you. Folks, we'll see you guys next week on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Have a great week, guys.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowowbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.